Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. We have a special guest today on Voices that I think you'll enjoy hearing from. It's our District Attorney, Warren Montgomery, District Attorney of St. Tammany in Washington Parish. Mr. Montgomery, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Bob. Glad to be with you and your listeners.
After a long time with our previous district attorney, you came to St. Tammany Parish and kind of swept through it, have started what seems like a new way and a new thinking and a new beginning, and would like to ask you some of your thoughts. What made you run for office? And kind of like, what's your vision? Where are we going with all of this? It's more than just trying to help our society to stay clean. There's got to be more to it than that.
Well, for myself, of course, I've been living in St. Tammany Parish for a long time, and all my children were raised here, and I love this community. It's a wonderful community, and we're really blessed to live here. And I was practicing law. I have a background in business and also in politics to some extent, but I'd been practicing law and doing a lot of indigent criminal defense work, so I was familiar with the district attorney's office and with the courthouse, the judges, etc. When this, I'm not going to call it an opportunity because I really never thought that I would run for district attorney. That was never a job that I was interested in. But when this election came around and I looked at the other candidates, and they were other good people, but I looked at my background. I took an inventory of my experiences, my talents, if you want to call them that, the things that God had brought into my life. And I said, truly, I've got the tools, the talents to do this job in a way that I think these other candidates don't. And I'd had a lot of people who had come to me and said, Warren, you ought to run. You ought to run for DA. You're the ideal candidate. You ought to run for DA. And I'd kind of put that aside. But after some prayer and reflection, at the very last minute, I finally decided, okay, Lord, this is what you want me to do, so I'll do my part, and I'll throw my hat in the ring, and I'll become a candidate, and we'll see what happens.
So this was it 3 years ago that you took office?
No, I took office about 2 years and 3 months ago.
Okay.
But I began running maybe 2 years, really in the summer, I guess it was of 2014. It's been a journey. I really made the decision in late July, I guess, of 2014. And then there was the 3 or 4 months of the election. Then I won the election. I won the election. And then there was a transition period of about 5 or 6 weeks. And then I took office. And it's been a very, very busy time of my life.
I'm sure it has been. You know, when we start something new, we think we know where we're going. We think we know what's on the other side. With any surprises when you got in the office, that you were encouraged about or things that you thought would a bit different than your original perceptions?
I didn't appreciate how much public relations is part of the job of district attorney. I had been a federal prosecutor, so I knew something about prosecution. I had been a criminal defense lawyer, had that experience. I knew something about practicing the other side of the fence, so to speak, and I'd operated businesses before, so I knew something about management and leadership, and I had other experiences, and you know, I'd worked on the Reagan campaign, so I knew something about politics, but I did not appreciate how busy you really are as district attorney, and until you're in that seat and you have to make the decisions of whether or not you're going to send someone to jail for 10 years, or whether you're going to try to prosecute someone for a murder charge or seek the death penalty or any number of these major decisions or little decisions. Until I was in that seat, I didn't appreciate the difficulty of those decisions. And frankly, I also didn't appreciate the power of the Office of District Attorney. It is a very, very powerful office. And for that reason, a dangerous office for yourself. Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so you want to be certain that you don't let that power corrupt you and harm you and harm the job that you're doing.
And, of course, that being a man of character is probably as important, if not more important, than the legal degrees that you might post on the wall.
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, the legal degrees, of course, that's just education, but having the technical knowledge is important and is necessary in order to do the job, but there are a lot of educated crooks. There are a lot of people who have the wrong values and don't have the strong base. I mean, we're on a Christian radio station, you know, but there's a great, one of the great examples in Scripture is where Jesus tells people to build their house on the rocks. And, you know, it takes a lot more work to build it on the rocks. And it may look the same if you build it on the sand or whether you build it on the rocks. From the outside, the house looks the same. But when the wind blows and the rain comes, if it's not built on the rocks, it will be washed away. So you do have to have, and I hope all of our elected officials need to have strong character and integrity, because otherwise, when that rain comes, when the storm hits, you're going to crumble.
You used the word early on of public relations, and in doing so, would be able to reflect the character that you have, the experiences that you have. And I would suspect that setting a good tone in the parish for fair, for justice, but at the same time for mercy, when there needs to be mercy, I would suspect that the public relation, by being able to relate to people and tell people how the parish should function in the way we should be, is a pretty important part of what you're doing.
It really is, and being out there among the people and having those people see you and interact with you. And we should never, ever underestimate the power of example. It is phenomenal how a good example will lead people in the right direction, because they will imitate that good example. Likewise, a bad example will cause people to stumble. And so it's very, very important that we put people in positions of authority, whether they're elected positions or unelected positions, but people in authority who give good example. Because our society, the way we are made up as human beings, is we tend to imitate the leaders in our society and
yes,
those who are in authority. So it's very, very important that we do that. And I'll tell you just a brief story. I had a little law office in Covington, and I would walk over to a church service at this little church, St. Peter's Catholic Church, mm-hmm. in the morning. And I remember walking over there, and in order to get to the church, I had to go past the school, St. Peter's School. And so I was walking along and thinking about some complex legal issue in my mind, and I wasn't really paying attention to my surroundings, and I was trying to resolve some problem for a client. And I heard like some voice or something say something to me, and I looked around, and there was a line of little school children in their school uniforms who were kind of marching over. I want to say five or six year olds walking over to the church to go to their morning service. And I said, you know, I just didn't know where that sound came from. And then as I looked over there again, the little boy raised his hand. He said, good morning, Mr. Warren. Good morning, Mr. Warren. And I didn't recognize him. I didn't know who he was. But then I realized he knew me from teaching Sunday school at a church in Folsom where I went. And I didn't know him, but he knew me.
Yes.
And I wasn't watching him, but he was watching me. And he knew Mr. Warren's going to church to worship God. And so my point is, people are looking at us all the time, and we don't know it. We're not aware that they're looking at us, but they are. They're looking at our example, and whether we're given a good example or a poor example, and that has a big influence in our society.
You know, something special is happening in St. Tammany right now, because I see among our elected officials a level of unity, cooperation, mutual encouragement, mutual lifting each other up and explaining how good the other person does their job and who they are. And I also found that in these same people, that Christ is an important part of who they are, that they have different roles, but deep down inside, they have one focus, and it's serving the Lord. And when I see that between you and Dr. Preston and President Brister and some of the other people I know in the community, our Mayor Freddie Drennan, some of the people on the city council, you know, they unashamedly recognize Christ as a part of their life. And I think that's what keeps this unity, keeps us on the same page. We're not squabbling. We're not fussing with each other. We're looking for ways to help each other be better than we were.
And one of the great examples in Scripture that we all know is the talk of the body of Christ and how St. Paul expands on that and says we're all members of the body of Christ. Now, there are different roles in the body of Christ. There's the hand, there's the foot, there's the head, there's the mouth, the eyes, et cetera, and they all perform a different function. But they're all necessary. And if they work together and they serve one another, if the hand serves the mouth by giving it food, and the mouth serves the stomach by taking it in, and the stomach serves it by developing it and sending the energy up to the brain, well, then you're gonna do pretty well. But if you start fighting, and if the arm says, well, I don't need that leg, what's that leg doing here? Look how different it is, you know, and et cetera, well, you'll have a discombobulated society. But if we work together and we appreciate one another humbly, and that's a big word, humbly, then we can accomplish so much.
But you know, when I see people functioning as one, I know that the best of each is utilized and the highest result is there for our community. And so many good things are happening in St. Tammany Parish because people work together, because people talk to each other. They actually speak to each other in cooperation. For instance, the Slidell Police Department, the State Police, and the Sheriff's Office work together whenever there's some kind of a major violent incident to do the investigation, to help each other, to encourage each other, to give oversight. It's a pretty awesome thing. And, of course, you're a part of that system of law enforcement and justice, and I suspect that somebody's got your back, too.
Yeah, well, we really, and that's another important factor is, once we focus on that communication, and to communicate, you have to trust. You have to trust that believe that people have your interest at heart. If you think someone is really out to get you, then, you know, you don't want to communicate with that person a whole lot. Or if you become angry at somebody because you don't like what they are doing or whatever else, well, you can have the silent treatment. And I don't know about you, I'm you may be married, I'm married, and you know, the silent treatment doesn't work very well, does it?
Not too well.
It doesn't resolve the underlying problems. But once my wife knows that I care about her and that I'm willing to listen, that I'm willing to humble myself and say, honey, tell me what the problem is because I do care. Well, then she'll talk to me. And 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, we're going to resolve whatever that problem is. And you know something? I may actually learn something from her. Now, I hate to admit that, and I would never admit it to her, but I will admit it on this radio show. So the point is, look, if we really want to have a good law enforcement community, then I need to listen to the sheriffs, and I need to listen to the state police, and I need to listen to the judges, and I need to take all of their opinions and their input and bring that into, you know, the DA's office so that we can have the very best DA's office and ultimately the very best law enforcement. And frankly, we have a great deal going here in St. Tammany Parish. I just give you some numbers. Our total crime rate in St. Tammany Parish is not growing. In fact, there may be a slight decrease. And by that, I mean the number of arrests are not increased. There may be a slight decrease, and that's with an increasing population. So let's kind of repeat that. Look at the big picture. Are you telling me, Warren, that we have more people living here than 5 years ago? We have less crime. We have a better school system. We have more income. All of these things are happening. That's what you call a virtuous cycle because they feed off of one another. Our churches Our family, you know, the husband and wife, they produce, our families produce good kids. Good kids go into the schools, which then have better students. The schools spin out these better students who are responsible, so they have better jobs. And because they're busy at their jobs and their families, there's less crime, which means I get to focus my attention as DA on the few people who are really having serious problems. And by the way, what I'm able to do is, instead of sending as many people to prison, let's see if we can develop some programs such as diversion, the district attorney's diversion program, some mental health drug addiction facilities, where we, instead of sending people to prison and giving them a criminal record, we can maybe resolve their criminal activity outside of the criminal justice system and make them taxpaying citizens and not offending citizens, not having a criminal record. So all these things work together, and really we're getting a stronger community because we have fewer people in jail, which reduces our taxes, right? So if we pay less for taxes, and those people who might have otherwise gone to jail, that we're able to help them with their mental health issues or with their drug issues, they become productive citizens outside of the criminal justice system. And that's part of what I'm doing, and it's not easy, it's complex, and I'm not going to tell you we have a perfect thing going on at all, but we're making incremental improvements along the way, and I'm very, very pleased with that.
Well, are you saying that the role of district attorney is more than prosecuting lawbreakers, but rather improving society by removing some of the fundamental aggravators, some of the fundamental causes that bring people to a point of crime, that you're stepping back several steps before that to eliminate a circumstance or minimize a circumstance that's going to bring somebody into a life of crime? Am I hearing you right?
Well, we all know. I mean, and you can statistically, and you don't have to be a Christian or even believe in God to recognize that strong families, healthy families, are the basis for a healthy society. So if you have a healthy family, you're less likely to produce children with these problems where they're going to want to violate the norms of society, the laws of society. So it starts with the family. And then the church, of course, is an important factor in that, because not everybody has a completely intact family or a completely functional family. And so the church is another, if you want to call it, a speed bump along the road. Then you've got the school, the school environment, and the coaches in the schools, the teachers, etc., who are another speed bump. And the district attorney is way down there at the end, so to speak, when all these other speed bumps have failed to slow down the out-of-control vehicle, the district attorney's at the very end. But to the extent that I, at that level, can say, wait a second, let me see if I can divert people out of the criminal justice system because now they're using drugs to self-medicate some unhappiness or some emotional turmoil. And that's where the mental health comes in, because drugs both stimulate unhappiness. We take drugs or alcohol because we think it's going to make us happy. Of course, it doesn't make us happy. All it does is mask the underlying problem, or in many instances, aggravates it. So if I can stop the person and get them into some kind of a drug rehab and have them confront the real underlying problem, then that is so much more healthier for our community than just putting them in a jail. Now, and of course, that's my job, though. Technically, my job is, hey, if we can't resolve it any other way, then we're going to have to take them out of society, because we don't want them destroying society through their acts of violence or robbery or sex crimes, et cetera, et cetera. So there is that door at the end, which I'm trying to get people to not go into, but I have to send them there on occasion to protect our society, to protect our families, to protect our churches, to protect our schools, to protect the community.
What's your vision? What is your vision if Warren Montgomery, what are we going to put on your tombstone one day? He was a man that, finish the sentence for me.
I'd like to say a person who followed Christ. Maybe that's the person who followed Christ. Now, I've been called in this particular instance to follow him as a district attorney. And so that's, you know, that's my ministry. I'm a minister of justice, if you would.
Okay.
And then sometimes a minister of mercy.
So this is your pulpit.
Yeah, this is my pulpit. This is my ministry. And, of course, all of us, the truth is, all of us are in ministry. There's a great phrase we've all heard. I think it was St. Francis who said, preach the gospel always and talk about it if you have to.
Amen.
So there's a lot of ways to spread the good news of the gospel by our actions, by our deeds, and by having a district attorney's office, which is fair, which is humane, which is tough when it needs to be, because some people need that, but can be tender and merciful also when that's the right answer to the problem.
If we were going to speak to the citizens of the community in terms of supporting you, supporting your office, what would be the thought that we would ask people?
Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for the people in my office. Pray that God would give us wisdom. God would give us strength. You know, all those things. That's what we need, is strength, wisdom, understanding. I think that's what Solomon asked for. And that's a good thing to have, particularly in my position.
Well, it's been a wonderful conversation. Is there anything else you'd like to add to what we've already talked about today or reemphasize that would be of interest to our listeners today?
Well, I just think I'd like the listeners to know that this is a wonderful thing that you're doing with this radio station. We're blessed to have you here. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for giving us your time today. I know you're a busy man with lots going on, and really appreciate you cutting out a little time for us today.
I'm headed back to the office now.
Well, thank you, Mr. Montgomery. Appreciate you being with us today. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us at 985-250-1037. You can leave us a comment. You can send us a text. And if you have a thought about something that was said on the station today that with Mr. Montgomery that's of particular interest to you, send us a little note. Love to hear from you. We encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. And we would like for you to go to our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can make tax-deductible donations. It's the gifts of folks like you who enjoy our programming that keep us on the air and bringing quality programs. So we'd love to hear from you. Again, that phone number to call us if you'd like to check in with us is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now, Slidell. Join us again daily for Voices of Slidell at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.